Okay, on the line we have Farida Iqbal from Perth. Jacob, over to you.
Hi, yeah. How do you pronounce it?
Farida.
Farida is like a equal kind of love LGBT activist in Perth who has been sort of heavily involved in the Safe Schools campaign and has generally always been heavily involved in the campaign for equal love. So Farida, how's it going? You there?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good. All right. So I guess what the first kind of question we wanted to ask is I'm not that prepared right now. Was sort of just generally sort of summary of, you know, how the sort of equal love campaign has been going in relation to sort of, you know, the federal election, because just this weekend there was an equal love rally in Melbourne, and I'm pretty sure there was there was rallies all over Australia.
Yeah, this is a pretty decisive election for us. It'll determine which terrain we're going to be fighting on for the next few years. If there's a Liberal government elected, then yeah, we'll probably see a plebiscite on the table. And yeah, a lot of queer organisations have, I think, quite rightly been critical of the plebiscite, that it's a waste of money, especially when they're not intending to fund the Safe School coalition past mid-2017. And also, it's a waste of time. There's no reason why the government can't just legislate for marriage equality immediately. It's clear what public opinion is, and public opinion is in favour of marriage equality. Poll after poll, again, shows that. So, yeah, we don't need a plebiscite. But on the other hand, a plebiscite, if we end up with one, I think we should throw ourselves behind the Yes campaign and, yeah, let's do our best to turn it into a mass movement. But then on the other hand, if the Labor government's elected, that's another interesting scenario, because they've promised the public to introduce marriage equality pretty much immediately. They've told everyone that it's going to be the first bill introduced once they get up there. But the thing is, they're not binding their vote until 2019, so they may not deliver on their promise, which would be very, very embarrassing for them. And in either case, we're going to have to continue the struggle.
Yeah. In the case of the Labor Party, isn't there, like, you know, conservative forces within the ALP historically and now that have actually prevented the marriage equality from being put to the bill?
Well, there is, of course, the SDA, which is, despite being the union that covers retail workers, and, yeah, I'd hazard a guess that most retail workers, a lot of retail workers are very young and they would be in favour of marriage equality. Nevertheless, the SDA is always staunchly opposed marriage equality within the Labor Party. But I think looking toward the conservative elements within the Labor Party is kind of missing the point. I think that the Labor Party is inherently a bureaucratic, you know, corporate-funded sort of machine, and it's not an instrument of the people. And this, the fact that they failed to bring in marriage equality when they were last in government, when they could have done it, they could have just bound their vote and got it done and dusted, like, that demonstrates that it's not a party of the people.
So even in the case of the Labor government winning this coming election, you would still kind of, like, you know, push for, you know, in continuous mobilisations on the streets in demand of marriage equality?
Yeah, of course. I think that's going to be essential. Yeah, it'd be nice if the Labor Party just does it. And I think it's in their political interest, given that they've promised it. I don't trust them. We got to keep protesting.
Farida, one of the things that has caused confusion among people is that, the argument used by the Conservatives, that is, if the people vote to install this law, then it's stronger because it's endorsed by the people. What do you say to people who say that?
Well, I think if this whole thing were to pan out like the Irish referendum, that'd be wonderful. I think if there was a popular vote, that, and a very strong yes majority yes vote, yeah, that would put enormous pressure on the parliament. Yeah, I guess, Lou, it's the delay that is a worry, because the more this legislation's delayed, the more political space that gives to the right, and also now the far right, the organisations like the United Patriot Front and the Australian Christian Lobby to organise. And the plebiscite would give them a perfect platform to organise as well as a perfect platform for us to organise. And I'm sure we'd defeat them in the end, but it might not be a pretty process at first. There might be some suffering. And so the plebiscite wouldn't be my preferred road. But if that's the terrain we have to fight on, then we can't be afraid of that. We have to take that on, and we have to take on the fight for the yes vote.
Yeah. On the topic of the plebiscite, the Liberal government, I think mostly Scott Morrison and the Liberal government by extension, have actually, you know, been quoted on record to say that even if the plebiscite were to pass, they would not be obligated to follow through with it, because plebiscites are non-binding. But the Liberal government has actually, Scott Morrison especially, has said, "Oh yes, even if passed, we're not going to do anything." They'll go to any step to sabotage the outcome of the vote and undermine it. And another aspect is that if the plebiscite fails, the Liberal government has implied that, Scott Morrison has implied that it's going to be completely taken off the agenda, and we shouldn't speak of it again if the plebiscite were to fail.
Well, I think that's wishful thinking on Scott Morrison's part. I don't think it's just the government that determines the agenda, and I think the queer community over the past 10 years has demonstrated that by persistently putting this on the agenda. It's us who've got this on the agenda. The government would have liked us to have just forgotten banned our right to marry in 2004. But we haven't forgotten. We just keep coming back, and we are just going to keep coming back no matter what. We're going to win our right to marry. And sorry, what was the question?
No, it's okay. It's just
there was more of a comment in your response to it.
Yeah. It's almost like they're wishing the queer community away. It doesn't work like that. It's like any other minority, you know, any other group that is considered a minority. You can't wish them to disappear. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, you've got to address the issue. You need to deal with it in a way that is just, that's within the human rights legislations and practices. And for the life of me, as an individual, I cannot understand what is it that bothers these people so much about the queer community. Why can't they just treat them as human beings? Just getting down to just basic stuff. I'm not talking about politics here. It always has fascinated me that this obsession with who sleeps with who, you know.
Indeed.
I just don't get it, you know. I think we need a psychological analysis of all these people who are anti-gay. I really do. We should discuss that a bit more, because they have got a fundamental problem. You know, we don't tell them who they should sleep with. Why are they telling the communities who sleep with, you know, who they choose, how and where and what they should do? I find the whole thing really, really very invasive of privacy and in such a breach of human rights, laws and regulations and everything around the world. And yet there's this discomfort at a personal level for these people. And it's basically, I guess, instilled in them by industrial nations, because prior to industrialization, according to many histories I've read, that wasn't a problem. It's only after so-called modern society came into being there has been this issue. They never had this problem. And I was reading an article by Kavita Krishnan, I think it was, from India, and she was saying that prior to colonization, even the Muslim countries didn't have a problem with gay issues. There wasn't a problem. And she named five countries that had not been colonized. And till today, they, you know, being gay is not an issue. they're treated equally as anybody else in this in the community.
Yeah. I guess to change the topic is still on LGBT rights, but there's been a propaganda kind of one of the very highly politicised issues has come from the Labor Liberal government, not Liberal Party, has been this whole safe schools, and they've been passing around a particularly heinous propaganda kind of sheet, basically attacking the Greens and Liberals for supporting safe schools.
Labor.
No, Liberals has been attacking Labour and the Greens.
Okay. That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
That's okay.
You said something else.
Yeah. I might have made a few mistakes.
You got caught out.
Liberal government has been sort of releasing these propaganda kind of leaflets into people's letterboxes, basically attacking safe schools. And despite the fact that in Victoria, safe schools has been committed to funding by the state government of Daniel Andrews, it's still a big struggle in, I guess, WA and Sydney. And I want to ask you, how is the safe schools kind of campaign for safe schools is going, and sort of, what are the sort of steps being taken to sort of counter this sort of propaganda war from the Liberal government?
Well, the campaign for safe schools has been very impressive. Yeah, I think especially in Melbourne, where 3,000 people were mobilised when the federal government announced its recommendations. And then, the state government stepped in and guaranteed the funding. So that was kind of got it in Victoria. But elsewhere in the country, in WA, we've had some really good rallies. Very, very broad alliance across the whole queer community. Pretty much every organisation in Perth has come out in support of the Safe Schools Coalition. And, we formed a new campaign group called Save Safe Schools WA. And we've had a series of really great rallies, and a really good team of people, and some really excellent young people, really excellent high school students coming forward. But again, how this pans out, we need to know what terrain we're fighting on. We need to know who's going to win the election before to know what to do next.
That note, we shall round up the interview, Farida, if you don't mind. Thank you for being available this time of the morning. Very kind of you to wake up at 5 o'clock in Perth or something.
Yeah, 5:15.
Oh, you poor darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, we'll talk to you another time. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
bye.
Thanks,
okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.